across Bayside Melbourne since 1990.
88.3 Southern FM.
Where the space show is going to look at planet Earth.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to our Planet Earth series, in which we look at how space technology is helping us understand our home planet. This is episode 72.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.
I'm going to recreate an interview here now about carbon emissions. Now, Europe's Regional Carbon Cycle Assessment and Processes Project aims to harmonise and compare regional and global carbon budgets. The European Space Agency asked Anna Bastos of the Max Planck Institute for Biogeochemistry to describe the project. Now, I'm going to read her questions that were posed to her by the European Space Agency, and we'll see what she has to say. So our first question to Anna Bastos is, who are you and what is your role?
I'm based at the Max Planck Institute for Biogeochemistry in Jena, so I work on biogeochemical cycling, especially the carbon cycle, and how it interacts with the climate system.
So how is the project helping to understand the carbon cycle?
In Recap 2, what we're trying to do is to develop the best available science to constrain carbon budgets, and especially the carbon sources and sinks at the global scale, and then link this to the national level.
And how is the project helping to inform policy decisions?
What Recap 2 is trying to do is to first improve our ability to match different estimates of carbon sources and sinks, so that then we can inform policymakers about the trajectories of their or of the national greenhouse gas budgets, and also look at how the natural sinks are responding to climate change. Because if the natural sinks are not taking up as much carbon as we expect, then the mitigation targets might need to be readjusted.
How does the project utilize satellite observations?
We have at the moment a very broad range of new satellites that are giving us unprecedented information about the planet. For example, high resolution vegetation, biomass maps that help us to track, again, forest condition or disturbances, and also to then infer changes in carbon stocks. But one important aspect from my perspective, and when we think about climate change and the need to monitor the planet or the planet's response to climate change, is to make sure that this wealth of data will have continuity over a period of decades and not just a few years. So the continuity of missions is really important for scientists to be able to compare what is happening now to what happened 10 years ago.
How does the European Space Agency continue to contribute to the fight against climate change?
ESA can contribute to the fight against climate change in two ways. One is the science and the data collected by ESA helps to monitor the state of the planet. So, for example, how plants respond to extreme events, or how healthy they are, or other parameters like glacial melting, for example. And so this is important to see how the planet in general is responding to climate change. And then a second important aspect is, of course, the mitigation and the monitoring of carbon sources and sinks, and keeping track of regional, national emissions, and see how we are doing in terms of, well, the road to Paris, in a way.
In our next feature from the Space Agency, scientists and engineers sing the praises of the European Copernicus Earth Observation Programme.
This is an impressive story of European collaboration.
It's a fabulous combination to push forward
the technology development of the next generation missions.
The Copernicus missions are really a masterpiece of European cooperation in space.
We need to listen to what our Earth observation data is telling us. It's important. We've developed a system which Europe can truly be proud of.
While Nicholas Copernicus opened our eyes to an infinite universe, Copernicus does open our eyes on the universe of our planet. It gives us the power of monitoring environmental changes and thereby expanding our vision to the future.
And Copernicus is the biggest, most proficient Earth observation system we have in the world.
Because they really measure with very high accuracy the atmosphere, the oceans, and the land surface in order for scientists to understand how this Earth system works all together.
It also offers key information services for a wide range of practical application, and thereby can address key global challenges like climate change. Copernicus program has given us the power of foresight.
Every day, our satellites will take the pulse of our planet.
24/7, 365 days a year.
Measuring vital parameters of our surroundings.
ESA takes on the crucial responsibility of coordinating the space component for the Copernicus program, observing the implementation and guiding its ongoing development and evolution. ESA is co-financing the program and actively designing the program's architecture while addressing user requirements provided by the European Commission.
All these data are open and available to everyone.
We're delivering policy-relevant information products through the combination of the satellite data and ground-based measurements. Our Earth observation from space gives us a truly synoptic view of what our planet is doing and how it is changing due to the input of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere from our society today.
So on behalf of the European Union, we're responsible for developing the satellite systems. And we ask industry through contracts to build different subsystems, and then we are responsible for the assembly and the testing and the launch of those satellite systems.
We have started with the further evolution of the Copernicus ground segment by establishing what we call the Copernicus Data Space Ecosystem. This Data Space Ecosystem is aimed at shifting the paradigm from bringing the data to the user to bringing the user to the data. We need to make sure on the ground segment side that this data diversity is not translating into more complexity for the user to utilize the data, but to make sure that the data diversity is actually becoming an asset in the development of new applications and services.
The use of this data for daily purposes in daily life, for farmers, for fishermen, for foresters, for disaster management people, civil protection people, fire brigades, they all use the satellite data from Copernicus.
With it comes a big responsibility. The responsibility to provide this information today, but also to continue providing this information for decades to come.
With free and open data access to anybody on the planet, you can go and access all of the information at your fingertips to study this wonderful world, our planet Earth.
The top priority is the assurance of continuity of Sentinel observations. We have responded to the strong call for stability, continuity, and augmentation of the system, which is particularly addressed in the consideration for the next generation of the current Sentinel, Sentinel-1 to Sentinel-6 series. But there is still need for new type of observation, which resulted in the expansion of the Copernicus Sentinel fleet.
We have six families of satellites ready to fly or flying, and we have a next generation, we call it Copernicus 2.0, the next six families of satellites, which will be quite unique.
We are really at the brink of something that is truly transformational.
And we're really breaking ground here from the point of view of European technology development.
We will have new types of data, such as hyperspectral data, new types of radar data, for example, new types of physical and chemical measurements.
These are fantastic new capabilities which complement those of the previous generation. And we can foresee the services continuing way beyond 2030 as a consequence of this new evolution.
We all see that, unfortunately, our planet, its atmosphere, its land, its ocean are in a precarious status.
We need a comprehensive monitoring system or rather a system of systems based on open data policy. This can enable us to identify the sources of the problems and how we can address them.
We need accurate and reliable data because, as Dutch people say, meten is weten, to measure is to understand. Only if we have precise and trustworthy data, then we can confidently develop the correct strategy to improve air quality and mitigate the negative effect of greenhouse gases emission.
Copernicus is really allowing us a global picture and a global perspective on changes in the environment. These data can be used in a number of applications, from agricultural to monitoring changes in the landscape, to look at the impacts of climate change, and to enable us access to information to support emergency services.
Copernicus program started as a big European aspiration to better understand our planet and sustainability, to better manage the environment we live in. The Copernicus program is coordinated and managed by the European Commission. The development of the observation infrastructure is performed under the aegis of the European Space Agency, which is in charge for the space component.